See what up, guys. Good morning. What a shit show. What a shit show. What a shit show. Like, any which way you look at it, what a shit show. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, I told you guys about how if, you know, like, when COVID came around, how fast, you know, the world just came to a complete and bloody utter stop, right? Okay. So the world comes to a complete and utter stop, right? Everybody starts freaking out, and the first thing everybody starts to do is buy toilet fucking paper. Can you imagine that? Like, the stupidity on that to buy fucking, to buy that, the first sign of a fucking, you know, shit hit the fan type of moment is crazy. So, so COVID shuts down everything, right? Now, when we did that because of COVID, we should have did that just for us, and our own boycotting. Because if we did, you know, what I'm saying is that would have been our revolution, right? So now, who do you see doing this? The truckers. Okay, so the truckers didn't like what the judge handed down for the verdict for Trump, right? So what'd they say? Most truckers, or trucker Joe or John or whatever he pushed out on social media, like, started this huge movement. And it created that fast. And they said, okay, well, we'll just bleed New York dry. New York is falling apart by the seams. I don't care who says it's not, or how bustling it looks, or even when you look at it, how many people are just still with their fucking head in the clouds and shit. That city is falling apart. And so is in California. Newsom knows this. But Newsom don't give a shit because he's going to run in the next election after this one. So he's probably going for 28. The truckers know that, you know, they're losing a lot of money in New York, okay? And if this was 10 years ago, those truckers would have never, ever did this. Because New York was the only East Coast port that really had a big, well, not really the only East Coast port, but it was one of the least, it was able to handle the loads, okay? And you got farther into the market in the Northeast than you did if you had to pop into Philly and then truck it all the way up to New York and New Hampshire and Maine and shit like that. And these trucks, we all know, go to Maine. But now, parallel with these stories, I'm sure there's somebody out there that heard that the truckers have these, or Walmart have these cabins, okay, these caves. These, like, underground passageways that would lead from, say, you know, drawing a point, it would probably start from Epping, New Hampshire, and then go all the way up to, like, Augusta, Maine, okay, towards the border of Canada. So that's one conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy. The thing is when you see the guy go into these tunnels, you don't know where the fuck he is. That's the thing. He could be at the place in Kentucky where they are in the middle of the country where they do store a lot of refrigerated trucks that have that whole produce. So this way here, if there is a bump in the supply chain, they grab from that source. And this way here, you know, it's like a little freaking storage place of food, if you will. At least that's what it looks like. But it's so massive that you can just keep going and going and going and going and going. And it's a little eerie, and it leads to other more questions. I get it. Now, the truckers stopped going into New York. Like I said, 10 years ago, it would have never happened. But now, well, you have Boston. And what happened with Boston is they opened up the Boston Harbor a little bit more bigger to be able to accept these super freight container ships, like the one that got bopped in with the 80, I don't know, I think it was like 80 tons of cocaine, 100 tons of cocaine, I forget the name of it right now, but the Ghana, the big Ghana, yeah, so Ghana. So what happened was, is Boston was like, shit, you know, the longshoremen's in there were like, we're losing out on money, so we need to build a bigger dredge. So they dredged it out to be able to fit these super containers. So now, leading up to this, and with Trump and boycotting New York, is that these truckers know they can go to Jersey, they can go to Boston now, they can go to Washington. I mean, they can go anywhere other than, you know, they can, and get their loads that they need and still stay afloat. the poor truckers in LA, they're going to have a hard fucking time getting their shit all regulated by 2030, because then they can't use the DEF diesel fuel. That's going to run out. Well, not run out, but run its course, and they're going to want totally electric trucks. So if we look at it, how many trucks would it take that how many Tesla freight trucks would it take to collapse the Golden Gate Bridge? Because those bitches is heavy. So usually, I guess, I don't know, around normal freight weight is like 60,000 pounds, with maybe like 20 on the truck. I'm not sure. Please don't hold my feet to the fire. But I heard that these Tesla tractor trailers are at least 85,000 pounds without holding a thing, or 70,000 pounds without holding a thing. So, you know, there was a massive push to put electric vehicles first. I don't know if anybody remember like them Saturns that had like half the fucking tire was covered and shit. Well, they deaded those cars. And now I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm like, it was probably not the coal industry saying, hey, you know, hey, I understand what you want to do and be nice for the environment. I get it. But the thing is, with these electric cars that we're going to do, is that they're very heavy, they're very expensive to make, and they're very hard to maintain, okay? So if you break down in your little fancy Tesla or catch fire, that bitch is sitting there burning down to the ground. You can't put them out. You can't put them out. You can put them underwater, and they'll still burn because the ions that are in the batteries have their own oxygen source. So that is crazy. There's not a foam retardant. There's not a nothing that a firefighter can do to put out a burning Tesla. So if these cars burn up, they're just going to sit there and burn up. Okay. Salt water messes with computers. Okay. So if you're riding around, you know, Swampscott, fucking Gloucester, and you're in there in Revere Beach chilling, oh, let me go down Shirley Avenue and pump it to who's, you know what I'm saying? You're a neo gangster, and you want to take care of the, you know what I'm saying? You want to take care of the fucking environment and shit. And you go down your Tesla and it pops out. Or even if you get a flat tire, that has to go on a flatbed, right? You're not getting a tow trucker. You're getting a flatbed. Has to be on a flatbed. And then it has to go to a certified technician that is certified by Tesla to work on Teslas. So there's two things I'm telling you. There's a huge market wide open for people that want to become mechanics and work on the new sets of fucking vehicles that are eventually gonna come about. But I feel that hybrid is gonna be the top winner so far. I don't think everybody's gonna go completely fully electric. And if they want to go completely fully electric, they're gonna buy them little friggin' casket size cars that just, you know, that I'm driving in. You know, something that's a four cylinder. Get 30 to the gallon. You're like, hey, I'm doing my part, right? I'm doing my part to save money in my wallet. I'm doing my part to fucking save the fucking environment. I don't litter. You know what I mean? I do my thing. But, like, they yell at us. There's plenty of countries, you know, and I know I'm shifting off like off a rail here. But what I'm saying is that I know there's other countries that are doing massive, massive damages to this thing. You go to look at the coast of Madagascar where they thought they found the wing of fucking, you know, MH370. Did you see all the trash? I mean, you can get your New York Yankees hat in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just walk the beach. You'd be like, oh, yeah, man, where you going? I'm going to get you some new Jordans. Where? I'm going to just fucking on the coast. Coast of Madagascar. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So, anyway, these are the problems that are going to come about in the next 5 years. So, what is new? So what is everybody going to do when they buy their battery-operated cars? We've seen that in Chicago, if it freezes, they're fucking fucked. We can see that the battery of the robots that are in NYC subways are not even making it, and what's gonna happen is they're gonna get pushed onto the third rail is what's gonna happen with those things. Okay? Not only that, but it takes two offices to assist them. The robot. So that's even adding more money to the budget, okay, that the New York's taxpayers gotta pay, right? So if I was on the platform Or let's say they're catching the D and that one station connects to the B line. So I walk over to the B line and I get mugged. And I knew on the other side there was a freaking robot with two cops standing there watching the robot. Then other than patrolling the subway, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed. Pissed. You can go to Best Buy New York right now, and there is a couple gentlemen sitting on a corner with a wall of fucking marijuana selling it to you in broad daylight. People walking by like it ain't no thing. Cops don't even stop it. Cops ain't stopping it. So why can't I do that out in fucking ass Alabama or fucking in East bumfuck Kentucky or something? No, you can't do that there. Well, it's okay for them to do it down in the middle of a concrete jungle, but I just can't do it in the middle of a fucking beautiful forest. It's crazy. They don't even have a license to solicit. I mean, they're fucking... What are you doing? You don't even own the fuck... Like, what? How are you taking up the sidewalk? That's... First, it's not your property. Second, you don't even pay a tax on the fucking thing. Oh, my God. I looked at it. She's gonna be shitting me. Gypsy cabs. I mean, it's crazy the hustle in New York. And you have to live like that. So, I don't know if you guys see... Like, So that's New York, okay? Eric Adams is their mayor down there, okay? He was bitching. We love immigrants. We're all immigrant fucking, we're immigrant friendly and all this shit. We're a sanctuary state. Come in. The reason why he said that is because he thought he was going to get all these fucking federal bucks, but he didn't end up getting no fucking federal bucks. Excuse my language. I get passionate about this stuff. I'm sorry, guys. It is what it is, right? But I'm sure it's nothing you have never heard before. So... And I'm from Boston. This is how we fucking talk. Anyway, right? Shout out to Dana White. I love him. I'm going to do something with Dana. I'll tell you my secret. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. But I'm trying to get to Dana with something because I got a business proposition because I have a fucking huge ill idea. And it just goes back to his history and his past. And it's sick. Anyway, moving on. If anybody knows anybody in Barstools or fucking DraftKings or NBA or UFC or MMA that can get to Dana, tell him to holler at me. I just would love to hear it. But it has to be signed under an NDA. You know, that sounds crazy for y'all to hear and kind of me to say, but in this world, anything is possible, especially when you got hometown kids like dudes from Boston. Anyway, Oh my god. So anyway, but in any event, what are we gonna do then when all these cars need to go electric after a certain time because this fucking stupid Green Deal? Okay, it seems like a president can come in and say, "Oh, we're not gonna do the Green Deal no more," and then you know we'll get a Democratic president. See, you can't drive around in a Maybach in front of me. You can't do that, lady. See, I'll rob you for shit like that. You cannot do that here. This is New Hampshire. You kidding me, honey? Hun, seriously? You're riding a $350,000 car past me that I could just take you and drive you to New York and get that shit lifted off, gone. And I'll take $150,000 for that. Easy. She's just driving around. She's trying to look for a parking spot right in the middle. Imagine the audacity. See, this is the stuff. And I told the doctor about this 10 years ago. I says... You know, because you look at California, right? You see them, they bipping, you got boosters and shit, and these dudes are doing it like hardcore. Look at, she don't even have to drive the fucking thing. She's like, wow, look at that. That is a sexy, wow. It's a real dark green. I thought it was black. It's a dark, dark forest green. Yeah, see, you can't do stuff like that, hon. See, there's people like me that will just sit here in this parking lot as I sit here, smoking, doing my podcast, observing everything. And I see you, and I'm just going to put a low jack under your car, and you're going to take me right to the honeycomb. Well, there's probably another one sitting, because if it's hers, this is, right? So, in any event, right, I don't mean to get lost track, but I had told the doctor this. I says, look, if people are going to be sick of losing, and they're going to start taking from the rich, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a big purge on the world. And shit, it's happening. I mean, do you see how many cops are in front of Macy's in California? I mean, you can find at least, at a minimum, a dozen cops in front of Macy's. They're ready. They're like, yeah, go ahead. Macy's is like, yeah, I'll stay here. I'll pay $4.50 an hour for these guys. Absolutely. 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 So, I got this estate sale that I'm doing. And I went on to OfferUp. Please don't ever go onto these sites. OfferUp. Don't go to TradeIt. Don't go to fucking... Don't even go to Facebook Marketplace. Because the thing is that it's full of people that are fucking cheap. They're scammers. They want to get everything for free. They want you to send pictures to another fucking email. I'm like, what are you, a moron? They ask you a question. Oh, can you tell me about the piece? They says, didn't you read the fucking description? You know what I mean? Like, you know? Oh, where are you located again? You didn't read the fucking description. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to keep... I was like, you know what? I'm done. I totally deleted the app right away. I says, you know what? I'll throw my phone and break it and crack it in 20,000 pieces. I says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay it out. I don't care how good the stuff is. I'm going to lay it right out on the ground. Lay a nice couple tops out on the ground. I'm going to put it right on Front Street. And I'm going to say, there. Now, here you go. You want it? You can have it. This is some good stuff in here. You know, it's a whole condo that has to go. Like, there's a king, queen mattress and all the bullshit, but whatever. So, I think I heard that Cameron's wife is divorcing him. And there's something else that I heard that I didn't know if it was really, really possible. You guys know Tim Wakefield's dead? I couldn't believe Tim Wakefield died, and he was married to Sarah Wakefield that was on Fogged Boston 25, and I never put the two and two together. I never did. I just was totally. I seen. Somebody control that kid. Put a fucking sock in the kid. Yeah, my kid wouldn't be yelling. I'd be like, hey, you're gonna start a scene. So, shut the fuck up. No. So, Tim Wakefield's dead, and he was married to one of the Fox 25 co-anchors, and she's dead. They're both dead. I'm like, are you serious? I was, like, shocked, and I'm like, and then, so, I go tell my, you know, soon-to-be fucking separated wife. Please. I'm getting going on that one. So anyway, I go tell her because you got to keep everything civil. So I'm like, hey, did you know the Wakefield family's dead? And she's like, what? And I says, yeah, like fucking Tim Wakefield, his fucking wife was the co-anchor, was one of the anchors on Fox, and she passed away. He passed away, and I said to him, I says, I wonder if they took the vaccine. You know what I mean? And I'm not into conspiracy theories, but what I am into is fucking legit common sense. And you cannot tell me, all right, that you can whip up a vaccine within months and say, yeah, that's ready to go in mass distribution. Fucked no. And I don't even think there's one human, test study done with some of these vaccines that were made. I really don't. I really just think... they made it and they shot it out, and now they have the audacity to try to scare you again to make you to pay for it. So people are walking into pharmacies like, yeah, let me get the COVID shit. Oh yeah, let me do you right up. They're not even going to ask about the payment until after the shot is in your arm, and then it's in your arm and then you're screwed, you know. But I was just wondering if the way it feels, they might have took the it just seems so young for him, unless he was like a smoker, had some other health issues. But rest in peace, Tim Wakefield. Rest in peace, Sarah Wakefield. I wanna make another shout out, another rest in peace. A good friend of mine just passed away, Leah. I'll tell you that story when I get back. I gotta run into Walmart, but I guess when you hear this story, you'll know that things just happen in mysterious ways, and I think the universe knew the money was better suited for the kids to be in the mom's hands, and it's a story. So I'll be right back, guys. I'll check out. I gotta check in the Walmart real quick. So we got a few big things. Something's happening. Something's in the works, and I'm going to lay my thoughts on it and give you my perspective on what is going on with CNN and Warner Brothers, what's going on with Jeff Bezos, and what's going on with Jamie Dimon. There was also a story about a, well, I didn't listen all to that. I didn't listen all, but I guess it's there was an American soldier that, like literally wanted to protest the, Israel war and literally just set himself on fire. And, he's dead, obviously, but totally lit himself on fire. And when I heard the story, it just reminded me of some other lady that, that lit herself on fire. It was just, it was crazy. I don't know if it was in the States or if it was like an Israeli or a Palestine person, but she just like went in the fucking front of the truck and just lit herself up. So, but there's a lot of financial things that I've heard through, through a few podcasts. And, you know, I don't know if any of you guys trade, but when you trade, if you trade on Webull, you get to see, or anyone, you know, TD Bank, if you get the sink or swim pod, you're going to notice inflow and outflow and things of that nature. Ever since, like, Webull came out and it's really, really improved their system and all the analytics and data that they can give you about other big money, the smart money, if you will. So the smart money, there's a couple people doing a few things, and it's not just, this ain't walking, we're not talking about walking around money, we're talking about huge dollars, billions of dollars that would be held up and tied up for, you know, a decade or more, all right, because it's an investment of some sorts, all right? So this is what I think is happening, is that as of right now, CNN, okay, let me put it this way. If anybody has watched the Dan Bongino show, okay, what he pulls in for a live audience, he pulls in, give me a second. He pulls in, he pulls in 30% of what CNN pulls in on a prime time night. And you know what? He pulls that in from anywhere from, because he'll tell you, like, oh, I'll come in and bust on the chat. And then he starts his show from like 11 to 12. And then after that, he goes and does like a radio thing. So literally the cat has it locked from 10:30, right, to like fucking 1 p.m. And he brings in 3 days what CNN takes in one night on a fucking, on a prime time. Imagine that. CNN is dying. Okay? They're connected to Warner Brothers. All this woke agendaism and shit is starting to backfire. Go woke, go fucking broke. That is what it is. Okay? Nobody's saying that, hey, you can't, you know, love somebody that's gay, or you can't love, you know, Black Lives Matter, or you can't support anything like that. Yeah, you can if you want your money to go to some mansion that somebody's running and things of that nature. If you want to help somebody, I would just say, go get a check, give it to the person, get their social security number, and then just get the taxes back at the end of the year. Okay, like Big Boy did. Big Boy, I don't know if you guys know Outkast, but Big Boy, he was, they were out chilling in Atlanta somewhere, and so, like, you know, the dude's talking to him about the, was talking to him about the video or whatnot, and he's walking towards his truck with Big Boy, and Big Boy's got, like, this ghost white Cadillac, and the dude goes, hey, you know, he's like, yo, man, hey, you think I can get some money, or a dollar or something like that? And he's like, yeah, I give you something. So he gives him $100, okay? Big boy is from Outkast, gives some random dude. Now, this is not a plant. This is all straight up real shit. So gives him the real $100, gives him a $100 bill, and he goes, yo, before I leave, I need to get your social security number. The guy actually gives him his social security number just so Big Boy could put it on his taxes at the end of the year and get the $100 back for donating. I just found it so funny. But see, those are the things, right, that rappers didn't teach us back in the day. Rappers didn't teach you that the reason why Jay-Z got, and I hate to stray off real quick, but I have to say this to some kids, because I know there's some up in cats that see, like, oh, Def Jam and slash Rockefeller slash Universal slash, you know, fucking whatever, right? The thing is that if you're going to start a music career, or if you're going to start anything, I mean anything, your own TikTok business, your fucking streaming, whatever you're going to do, all right, even a podcast, like even me, what you would want to do is get an LLC and make that a business, okay? Now, if you're somebody that's already doing good and you're taking care of your bills and you have a fucking payment history and credit, what's going to happen is that your business that you now just created through an LLC, I don't know how it costs, but I know in some Northeast regions it costs anywhere between $150 to $450, maybe LA $750. But that's to create an LLC. You want an LLC for a limited liability company. This way here, if somebody falls, gets hurt, and they want to sue you, you can dissolve the company and they get screwed. You can open up another LLC under another name. Okay, that's how you get out of lawsuits. So, you know, if somebody's out there, they think that they can, you know, slip on a ladder and they're going to, you know, take out a company or something, unless it's some big major, you know, corporation company, you're not going to do it, because they'll dissolve the company, file Chapter 9, and then just open it up another LLC. And that is how they do it. Okay, so you'd say, oh, well, we get screwed. Well, you know what? That's how the game is played. It's all how you play the game, right? The game is to be sold and not told, right? So here's the deal. You get your LLC, right? You got your LLC. You go to the state. You get a tax number. They get your EVN number or VIN number. Whatever, not the VIN number, but the EIN number, right? Okay? And now what's going to happen is that you now have a business, right? Right, okay. What they don't tell you, what they didn't tell us in rap, is that that business now has credit. You shitting me. So you're telling me, Wayne, I have bad credit, right? Or it's low. Say, let's just say you have 585 or 620. If I get a business, right, and make an LLC, you're telling me the business credit will reflect my personal credit to a certain degree. Because the thing is the business hasn't ever made a purchase. So what you do is that the bank is going to probably give you a credit enough to just purchase probably $200-$300 worth of shit just to see what you're going to do, because they're looking at your personal credit saying, eh, you know, it's all iffy. So we'll give you a shot. Here's $300. You know, it's like they give you those credit cards in the bank where you put the money up front. That's how it goes, right? So you put a little money up front, you pay off the credit, you start making payments. Now that credit starts to go up. Start paying off some of your personal credit, and then that will match your business credit. So you could have personal shit credit, but your business credit be through the fucking roof. Okay, and the thing is not to take a and if you get, let's just say you get $300 limit, and I'm gonna digress after this. You get a $300.
Watch out! Vehicle on shoulder ahead.
You get a $300 limit. You only want to spend between 10 to 15% of what you're allowed it in credit. Okay, so $300, spend about $120 and make the payments. Do not pay it all off. If you know, do not pay it all off. You can do scheduled payments with them. You know what I mean? It'll be $35. Just make the payments. I know it sucks to see money hanging over your head, but if you got the payments already allocated for it, and then the funds are there, and da 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 da, it's money already spent. You know, it's just, that's what you want to create. The key to everything is the payment history. As long as you have a payment history, is they want to know they're going to get their money. So what is a bank going to look for? A fucking payment history. Oh, he makes his payments. Oh, my God, Jesus, he had a car in 4 years. He's only missed, what, 3 or 4 payments? Oh, God, you know what I mean? And your credit will shoot up, okay? So now what happened, what the rappers don't tell us, is that Rockefeller, right, could now make could now write off all their tax studio time. So the advance money that they were getting from Def Jam, they was able to keep that, write the taxes off on the write the taxes off from the studio time that they used on their business, because it's a business expense, right? So who's to say that when they featured Memphis Bleek, or they put on Beanie Siegel or Petey Krag, who's to say that wasn't a business expense? Do you know, you get what I'm saying? So they go out to the bars, they start partying, that's a business dinner. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, it's really not we were kind of partying. Yeah, but you guys were talking about business, right? So, you get what I'm saying? It's no different than when, and I'm not picking sides here. It's no different when Trump goes in and says, hey, I got 10,000 square feet. I need a loan for 100 million. I need a loan for 100 million, but the 10,000 square feet's only going to give me 50. So I can go back and measure it, and I'm sure I could probably come up with 20,000 square feet. You know what I mean? For the 100 million that I need. So the bank goes, sends out their fucking appraiser, okay? Now the bank's there. What's the bank want to do? Make money. So the bank goes out and says, shit, you know something? Yeah, we found that 10,000 fucking square feet you were talking about. Here you go. Here's your $100 million loan. And the interest is going to cost you about $175 million. Okay, great. Now he pays it off. He does that. Did any crime occur? No. The embellishment of square feet of general liability insurance, of, you know, you go for general liability insurance, okay? You guys are starting a business, you got a general liability insurance, you're doing a construction company, okay? Here's the deal. Well, we're roofers. Yeah, well, you don't go higher than a fucking mobile home, okay? You don't do no... Well, how high do you guys work? Oh, we work higher than a mobile... We don't work higher than a mobile home. How much business do you guys plan on doing? I don't know, probably... $60,000, yeah, we're a small outfit, you know. You're on a roof, so you're fucking more than one story, right? Because you get bigger the bucks, and right, you're gonna make more than $60,000, right? But you do that to keep the rates low, okay? The higher you go up, the higher the rates. The more money you're gonna bring in, the fucking higher the rates. And these games get played all the time. I know a family member that owned a iron company. And what I mean by iron company would be laying down rebar, okay? So nuclear power plants, you know, missile silos, bridges, you know, concrete foundations and shit like that, right? I'm asking about it, right? Talking. And I says, so what popped up in my head is the appraisers. So I says, so... If I'm talking to an insurance person and I'm saying all these things, you know, hey, you know, we don't go up this high. Now I'm just making an example of roofing. What did you say if you're painting there and you're a side or something, you're siding? You only side on mobile homes. Okay, mobile home is what? 13, 14, 20 feet high. So it's you know, you say, hey, I can work off a 10-foot step ladder. Okay, you get what I'm saying? Wink wink. Now I asked, so I'm talking to them about this. Now, mind you, the iron company makes hundreds of $1,000 contracts on a job. So we're talking some big shit here. We're not talking little potatoes. I says, so tell me, if I went to do this, right? And I get what you're saying, right? So I start that strategy. I says, after I do that, I says, they're not going to send out somebody to make sure that they're not going to send somebody out to see if I'm fucking lying, or an appraiser to see if I'm really lying. And what the answer I got is that I only had somebody come out one time, one claim. And I says, you're shitting me. I says, you're shitting me, auntie. How big your company was. Working in the state of Massachusetts and New Hampshire on bridges, you're telling me only one time, only one claim. She goes, yep. So everything that you said to them was believable. She goes, absolutely. And I says, you got to be fucking kidding me. So it's not far-fetched to understand that what happened with Trump, what happened with you know, what's going to happen with maybe a, you know, your husband or your wife that's going to start a business. These are the things that we as small business owners are looking for, because it gives us a little jump on the bills and get ahead of the rates. I mean, let's face it, you know, the rates only are going up because, what is it, every fucking year we got tornadoes going down in the southern part of the freaking country, destroying everything. So what do you think all that insurance money's going, that we pay for? So that's why our rates go up through the freaking roof. You know, do you get what I'm saying? But that's the thing, is the rap game never told us that, you know, you want to make your own studio time so you can write it off. You can write your fucking, you know, you can write this off, you can write that off. I mean, you know, it's like you can get a loan to sign an artist. Imagine that. Imagine if your credit was like fucking primo, A1, okay, and you open up a record company. You could go sign. Let's just say you got some kid in high school. You know he's hard. He's gonna do his thing. So you say, hey, listen, fucking Joey Dubatz. I wanna sign you for two records. And I'm gonna give you an advance of $10,000. That kid is gonna sign that contract, especially if he's 19, 20, for $10,000, not knowing that he's gonna have to owe the fucking IRS five of that. Okay. So then he does that. Now he's in debt. Okay. Now you say, okay, well, sell me a master's. Do you get what I'm saying? This is how this shit happens. But the game doesn't teach you these things. You know why? You know, and it never made sense. I says, oh, it seems like Rockefeller Records is trying to make their own label. But even though Jay-Z was really hot and shit, and the more he made money, he never broke off from Def Jam. It was Def Jam, and then it was Rockefeller. So it was like Def Jam was the record, and Rockefeller was like the distributor, or you know what I mean, vice versa. So, and then where Rockefeller was his own label, they started getting more money for their tapes. So, like, you know, so they started getting more money. So they couldn't say, well, hey, you know what? I could just take my own fucking business and do this all by myself now, because now I'm Jay-Z and I've got artists that are making money. Bleak, Siegel, I got Petey Crack, I got the Young Guns, I got Kanye West. Like, I'm in it. Like, I'm there. So, you know, Def Jam says, all right, well, listen, we want a piece of the pie too. You know, out of $20 a CD, around that time, CDs were going from anywhere from $19.99 to $16.99. And I could only imagine that Jay was probably getting fucking $7-$8 a CD, maybe even more, because now he's his own company. You know what I mean? Now he has his own leverage. He knows how many fans he's got. He knows what he can bring in. And that's what happened. That's why Koch did the same thing. Said, okay, we're gonna stop paying artists. You know, we'll give you $3 for every record. Do you know what I mean? Because that's why Diplomat started being the Diplomats. That's why, you know, the Locks became the Locks. They started becoming their own companies so they can own their own masters, have all this shit, get their own royalties and things of that nature. So now, back, I didn't mean to rant and rave, I'm sorry about that, but I hope somebody got some kind of tasty tidbits out of it. So now, with CNN, so I told you Dan Bongino can take in what fucking CNN, like beat CNN. Dan Bongino has more viewers than CNN, all right? CNN is a global fucking network, and it's dying, okay? The value estimate, at the estimational value, with CNN and their stocks and with their, you know, their ad revenue is going down, their stocks are plummeting, Warner Brothers is dying, okay? It's losing a lot of value. Now, whether that's people shorting the market, we don't know, but we all know that a lot of CNN's high-profile newscasters are gone. I mean, they don't have, you know, Don Lemon no more. They don't have Chris Cuomo. You know, they don't have, Wolf Blitzer, I think. Wolf was bringing in something. I don't think they even have Anderson Cooper still. I'm not sure. Or maybe they still just have Anderson Cooper. But the thing is that it's dying, okay? So Jamie Dimon, I think, is the CEO of Chase, okay? Chase is, I think, fitting to become the number one bank. I think it's going to take over J.P. Morgan. Now, I'm not into finances like that, but I just feel that Chase has got plans to open up, like, I don't know, a few hundred locations or maybe 600 locations in and around the country. And so, you know, they're looking to expand. J.P. Morgan. So you have three things going on. So Discovery is losing cash. Warner Brothers and what was the other one I just mentioned? CNN. Now, Jamie Dimon pulls a lot of money out of J.P. Morgan. Okay, and we're talking, you know, a hefty submit, you know, billions of dollars. You know, I don't know how many billions, maybe but a billion worth of stock. But that's a lot of stock for a company to lose. And Jeff Bezos, okay, pulls $3 billion out of J.P. Morgan. So that's $4 billion worth of shares coming out of J.P. Morgan, okay? That's a big hit. Now, what is going on? What are they gonna? What is your mind saying to you right now for all the information I gave you? Is it sounding like maybe Dimon and Bezos are gonna buy CNN, or is Bezos just gonna buy CNN, and then Jamie Dimon will be an investor into CNN? Into CNN. So he'll, now just hear me out, because Bezos has Amazon Prime, Video, and they have about, like, their movie war chest budget is like $3 billion, okay? So, you know, Bezos sits and sees YouTube making a shit ton of money, right, from all the streams, right? And sponsors are getting sick of paying a lot of money to a lot of these cable companies and getting lugats in return for eyeballs. Like, imagine CNN or Dove paying CNN, you know, six figures to put their commercial on at 8 o'clock on prime time, right? Let's just say four times in the hour, and they're only getting a half a million views. Like, Dove's, the marketing of that is done. Those big marketing checks are done. Those sponsor checks are done. So CNN loses a lot of money doing that. So the estimate value of CNN right now is about $2 billion. Jeff took out three. Jamie's got a bill. Okay, that's $4 billion. That's enough to scoop up CNN. So let's just say Jeff scoops up CNN, right, adds an extra $10 to his fucking, his Amazon Prime Video, and now he has certain things like his series on, so not only can you catch it on Amazon Prime, but now you can watch it on TV itself, which is going to be streamed. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not going to be cable, it's going to be streamed, whether it be a satellite or however he plans to do that. But I'm not saying this is really going to happen. I'm just saying that's a huge possibility, is that Bezos is looking to get bigger into the entertainment scene, to where, you know, he wants, you know, because the NFL wants to start streaming. The NFL is going to stream a whole playoff season on Prime, and I think they've already done it, okay? But it's going to be more and more and more, okay? I just lost my train of thought. So if Bezos can have, you know, Prime Video with Prime TV, Like, you know, for another 10, for another $5, you can catch different programs or different other things or watch sports or, you know, gives it, does a sports package for like $10 to watch the football to where you're watching streaming to where you can rewind it just like YouTube can. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's a possibility, right? I mean, that or these guys are taking their money, right? Because about 20 or 30% of America shops online, okay? Which is up, you know, a substantial amount since, say, 2005 or even 2009. Once I start buying online, the whole world will go. Because if I'm doing it, then if I succumb to it, then everybody else has probably already done it. So as you can see, you got Amazon fucking safe deposit boxes and things of these natures. So these new modern buildings are going to have these boxes built right in, right? So Jeff could be what else is the thing I was thinking about? He was thinking about doing with the money that he pulled out. Oh, Jesus. He can buy the TV network. Oh, that's what it was. Or, the thing is that, like I said, you know, there's not, you know, like, a quarter of us are shopping online, and we're not shopping online, like, constantly to where, you know, brick and mortar buildings are shutting down left and right, which they are. They are dying, but not as fast as you would think if, say, you know, 80 or 90% of fucking. Sorry, I got a phone call. So not like, you know, so now 90. So if it was like 90% of us shopping online, you would see like literally no stores because we would all be shopping online and Instacart and all that. Now to have the, you know, Instacart's like they up prices like crazy. Okay, so excuse me, like, you know, not a lot of people can afford that. So with Jeff, and everybody might know, or at least the smart money knows, is that warehouse space is dwindling really, really fast, okay? And you got Amazon trying to do distribution hubs everywhere, you know, all up and down the East Coast. Because the last 10 miles of a delivery is the fucking worst, all right? And I think they're trying to solve that. So it could be Jeff Bezos is going to soak up a lot of real estate to build warehouses, okay? Because I heard they need something like 30 billion square feet of like warehouses or warehouse space to be able to hold the products that eventually America would be buying 24/7 online. So it's not, you know, if, but when. And that's going to be obviously in, you know, years to come. But they're going to be making these preparations for it now. So, you know, if 10 years ago 15%, now 30 of us are online, 30% of us are online, and some more of us, you know, went online because of the COVID, it just goes to show that they're trying to get everybody to start shopping online. Because that will subtract people on the road, which then subtracts emissions going into the fucking polluting air and all the other jazz, right? And road fucking maintenance and every other thing. So the more that they can push us shopping online, the more it helps every other thing. So Jeff could either be doing something for Prime Video to make a Prime TV, or he is taking his money and he's buying a ton of real estate up and down the East Coast or in the Midwest to make distribution centers so it's able to get to, you know, point A to point B faster, you know what I mean? So, but it's just going to be quite interesting to see what Jeff does due to the fact that, you know, $3 billion of stock coming out of J.P. Morgan is insane. And I'm sure... Hi, how are you?
Good.
You too, thank you. And I'm sure Jeff Bezos is, you know, that's a lot of cash. And you know, so what's going on? You know, what's the deal? I'd love to hear what you guys got to say about it. What else is there? Jeff could be buying CNN and Warner Brothers, okay? And Jamie Dimon could be doing something where he's going to be, you know, helping him fund that, or joint partner venture. Who knows? But, you know, if you look in some of these rural areas, I moved to New Hampshire for, I don't know, maybe about eight years ago from the city. Since I've been up here, they have out here is Berkshire and Hathaway. So, which is Warren Buffett. And all I see is real estate for sale. Real estate for sale. Real estate for sale. And I'm talking rough land. Not manicured, no infrastructure, no poles, no nothing. And they're buying the piss out of it. I mean, well, they're selling the piss out of it. So, it only seems to be that, you know, that the warehouse space is coming soon. And you're going to see a lot of it starting to happen. So there's going to be a big crunch of warehouses being built, because online shopping is only going to get bigger and don't get fooled by, you know, all these criminal, you know, shoplifting rings are not a mechanism to help create the solution that, you know, is trying to be formed. You get what I'm saying? Look at how many businesses left LA. I mean, you got CVS, you got In-N-Out Burger. I mean, what the fuck? So now you want an In-N-Out Burger, you're going to have to go call somebody QuestCard and say, oh yeah, hey, fucking, you know, I want a fucking In-N-Out Burger. Okay, that burger's going to cost you $20. You know what I mean? Because the inflation for them to just deliver it to you, and it's going to come cold. But what else they'll do is that I think a lot of restaurants and fast food joints are going to cut the size of their restaurants, okay? Because McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's alike, they don't make money off their burgers. They make money off their shakes and sodas and their realty, okay? That's what they make money off of. Now, when they shorten the size of those, they're going to shorten the size of the restaurant, okay? So you still can, you know, dine in if you'd like, because the percentage of people dining in are going to be very small, because everybody's going to be eating inside. And then what they're going to do is they're going to make these little small hubs for the DoorDashes and the Ubers. So, like, it's like a small little friggin' garage that's got a pizza oven, and it's just pushing out deliveries for the DoorDash guy. Meanwhile, the restaurant only deals with patrons coming in to sit down and enjoy an in-house meal. You know what I mean? They have no deal with the DoorDash, because right now you got DoorDash coming up to pick up food. You got Dunkin' Donuts coming to do the ultra fast lane. You know, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, if I was DoorDash, I'd just start grabbing fucking all these green teas and shit. And fucking, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a mess. It's so chaotic, especially when they first came out. They were just everywhere, and it was totally a mess. Nobody know what to do with anything. So, and you know, they knew that, hey, we have to do something here and let somebody know that. So it's what's going to happen to our economy is quite crazy, okay? And now, for all you influencers, I know if you listen to the last few podcasts, especially the one with about Rumble, you'll understand that the days of big sponsor checks going to big companies and corporations, it's not happening no more. It's going to go to streamers. So streamers are going to be the biggest thing going, okay? Because it's live and it's connective, and it's the newest thing. I mean, YouTube is killing it, right? regardless if they censor somebody or if they don't censor somebody. But the one thing YouTube does feel is that everybody's starting to reach what they can do. 15-second shorts, 30-second shorts, whatever, having creators go on and things like that. But where they screwed up is the censorship. So now it got to the point where, you know, they censored Joe Rogan and everybody, but you can still see Joe Rogan's video on YouTube, but it's only 23 minutes long or so, or 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 4, whatever like that. You can never catch the full podcast, only on Spotify or Rumble or whatnot, I'm not sure. But now, since he was able, right, to still hold the number one spot in podcast in the world, he got a deal for like, I don't know, $200, $300, $400 million, and he negotiated to have his podcast in video be put on YouTube and never demonetized. So now he just worked that right in because YouTube wanted it. YouTube wanted the eyeballs. You know what I mean? They're like, shit, fuck. Like, we want the eyeballs. Like, how many people are not watching it because it's only 24 minutes and they want to watch the whole thing? So they said they don't even bother watching it. Mind you, sponsors are paying for that spot, for those spots on that video, and they could be losing out on millions of views because YouTube wants to censor somebody. And it's not like Joe Rogan's like having open out sex and shit like that, and you know, I mean, the CDC just came down and said we're gonna treat the COVID like treat COVID like the flu because we all have immunity now. Holy fuck! So that's herd immunity they were talking about, right? That they said it was a bunch of bullshit. You fucking clowns. You're all a clowns. Fucking, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, do they really think people forget what they say? You know what I mean? Like, Fauci, what he said, you know, Joe Rogan, what he said, everybody going on him, you know, now all of a sudden, you got the CDC saying, oh, well, yeah, you got herd immunity. Yeah. We got it now, huh? But you know, when that theory was dead, you know, when that narrative was getting played when Trump was in office, oh boy, I'll tell you, and the hydrochloroquine and all this jazz, and I didn't take the vaccine because what happened was is around when it 2018 around my son's birthday, he got really sick, and we bring him up to the hospital, and the doctor comes back and he goes, yeah, he's got like the flu B, which is like a real good flu. And he goes, okay. He goes, good thing you caught it now because sometimes it could be deadly for babies, you know, because they get a high temperature. And I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, okay. Now, we knew that at this point, we knew something was like there was an outbreak in China. And I kept telling my wife, I says, if they're letting us know it's an outbreak in China, I says, you know how many Chinese people are in America? I says, it's already here. You know what I mean? But they're not gonna tell us that. So he gets so we go to the hospital. He gets a prescription or whatnot, and 2 days later he's fine. Okay, 4 months later, literally 2 months later. Now we get the outbreak. Now she's like, should we get the vaccine? I'm like, Wayne had it. I think Wayne had it. I says we got immune from him. We got our son's immunity. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not going for the vaccine, and I never did, and I never will, because you can't tell me that you have to take a vaccine multiple times when all I have to take a measles, mumps, and rubella, one time in my life. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, and it's funny how like, oh, well, now the measles are coming up is because, you know, because some, you know, fringe part of America, which could boil down to maybe fucking, 2 million people that believe that, you know, vaccines are bad, and they create this, and they create that. Maybe they do. You know, everything is connected. Make problems, make shit unhealthy, so we can fix them up and make money off that. Do you know what I mean? Let's give people an SSI check so they can put it right back into the economy. They're not going to put it in their bank account. Do you know what I mean? Just imagine if everybody took their fucking SSI checks and just kept saving it. And started fucking hunting food on their own. And drinking goat's milk and shit. Shit that was free, right? Just imagine, right? The government would be like, our GDP is, we're losing our GDP. What the hell's going on? Yeah, because now Americans are getting smart. They're fucking spending their money. I mean, they're not spending their money. They're saving it for a certain thing to become ownerships of something. Once you become ownership of something, now you're talking a different ballgame. Hello.
Hi. Thank you.
Yep. The toll booth lady. You know what I'm saying? We back on a bud run. And you know what? I'll tell you this right now. In Massachusetts, if all my potheads, okay, I know this is probably a little bit of a long podcast, and I don't stop and do segment to segment. I just go. All right, that's a little ADHD for you. You know what I mean, because I'm a crack baby. I was a cocaine, crack 80s baby. So. Shit, where the fuck was I? Oh, so the marijuana industry, right? Okay, just give me a second. In Massachusetts, I don't know about anybody else's state. Maybe not California, but I'm sure, states that have just started, like Florida, New York, Boston. New Hampshire doesn't have a rec. But I'll tell you this. I don't know about you guys, but I can go to a dispensary and there is a fucking line. I don't know about you. I don't know how much you're paying an ounce. I know it's different prices in different markets. But if you want to get yourself an ounce of weed in a recreational dispensary in Massachusetts, it's going to cost you, if you're going to get top tier bud, it's going to cost you over $440, okay? With that type of money and the type of money they bring in now monthly, whether it be you could take any state, Maine, Mass is probably more, Rhode Island, Connecticut, whatever has a medical and a rec, right? The medical side of things is taking in roughly between $7 to $9 million a month on marijuana sales. Now, mind you, those are slow days. Okay. Now, if it's a good month, they're coming in with 12. Okay. So $12 million a month. The cannabis, some dent dispensaries are raking in. Okay. Now, the prices are at like $440 a half. You can go to some dispensaries in Mass and an ounce will run you $234. But what's going to happen, what they're going to do to you, is they're going to give you some type of, low Delta 9 type of fucking weed. They're going to say, oh, the total active cannabinoids percentage is 22%, but the THCA is this. And it's like, something? I don't want to care. I don't want to see the THCA. I want to see motherfucking THC first, okay? I don't care about the A pod, all right? I really don't. Which I know I should. And I don't understand what's up with the Delta 9 shit, because if I smoke a bud that's low in Delta 9, it's shit, but they charge it higher. If I smoke a weed that has a higher Delta 9, I get higher. So is it higher Delta 9, higher the stone, or is it lower the Delta 9, lower the stone, or vice, or is it upside down? So if it's low, you're gonna get higher, or if it's higher, it's not gonna get your stone. How does that go? Okay. Now, second thing, most of these states have been running for about 5-10 years now. Okay, I've watched one dispensary that has two or three locations completely change their name. Like, they were, what was it? It was Patriot Care, okay? They had three locations. And then they changed their name to The Cannabist. Okay? So I'm saying to myself, so why did you do that? Did you just want to dissolve the company, not pay the bills, and fucking, you know, just go under a new name? Okay? And what's what up with all the farms, you know, making all these sister companies just to sell the same fucking butt? Do you know what I mean? Like their marketing scheme is like, oh, well, anything under 20-25% is scheduled two, which is going to cost you if it was on sale, it would cost you $25. But if anything above 25 to 30, it's the bank two, and that's going to cost you, you know, probably $35. Okay, so you say, oh, well, $35. An eighth, that's not bad. Yeah, that's street value. Yeah, but you don't know about the fucking taxes yet. So that 35 is going to turn into 40, 45, 50 bucks. So that's $50 an eighth, right? They're growing this shit probably at $3 a freaking gram, right? Where is all the money going? Okay, because I know a few companies, like, let's just say the penny company that owns the Sesh company in Massachusetts, or owns, what's the other one? Nova Farms, that owns, you know, Salty Adams and fucking, there's one other one that they own. Oh, Sticky Fish. And then you got brands coming out, like, they're just coming out left and right, like Boston Strangler. And I'm like, all these brands are coming out to sell this same weed that you guys can't sell, right? And you're just trying to put a new name. So, oh, let's create a new thing called Boston Strangler. Put this Sunset Sherbet that we had for $30. Now that we put it in this new Boston Strangler fucking brand, now we can sell it for $50. And it's like, how do you guys get away with that? Do you know what I mean? Like, I go down there one day, there's a sale, I can get an ounce for $130. I go back the next day, that fucking same strain now is $50 for an eighth. How do they get away with that? And I say, even if they can get away with that, and that's fine, and they're allowed to do that, why isn't the stock price going up? Okay? Because Gushy, or J-U-S-H-I, Gushy, or whatever the fuck it may be, is sitting at 30 cents, it's 30 cents a share. It's a penny stock. I mean, Ogamigram is floating at like $1.30. You know what I mean? I just don't get where the money's going. You got Columbia Care. You got Columbia Care. You got what the fuck is that? Curaleaf, right? You got those two companies. Those two companies are like running the other companies. So I don't know, where is all the money going? So, because there's no way that people are losing out. I mean, what in the hell? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how are people losing? Because the fucking system is corrupt, is why they're losing. So corrupt to the fact that in Boston, they got the head of the Cannabis Commission, right? She's all of like, I don't know whatever her age is, but she's up there. And it's not to say that she can't do it at her age, right? But you think she's got some type of expertise in the marijuana industry. No, she's just got expertise in fucking, in a degree in fucking business. Oh, okay. So you have no idea about trichomes, when they should be plucked, when they should be not. Are they fucking shaving the trichomes off the fucking weed and then selling us the weed? Do you know what I mean? There's a million one hustles that you could do with marijuana and shit like that. Do they cut the sugar leaves and the popcorn, you know, the sugar leaves, and then put those into the pre-rolls? They take the popcorn fucking buds, they put those in the, they put those in the thing, that they, a jar, they sell those to you for 7 grams for $70, and you're sitting here like, you gotta be shitting. You know what I mean? Oh, you can get some pre-ground shit. Oh, that pre-ground shit. Now, that pre-ground shit, did you already sift that through dry ice? How do we know? Supposedly, there's supposed to be some fucking type of CCT camera that goes, that leads right to the Boston Cannabis Commission, which I find totally fucking false, because it's bullshit. I mean, these people are crooked. They're crooked. You know, they're supposed to have somebody that's going out there and looking at these places for this, you know, seed to sale type fucking RFID card, right? So they want me to believe that, oh, okay, well, Wayne, yeah, we got a chip on the plant. Oh, yeah, it's right around the trunk. Oh, well, ain't that fucking special. Well, what happens when the fucking buds come off the trunk? Do we know what happens then? It's like our diamond when it's rough. And once it gets cut, you don't know where the fuck it came from. So once I chop the buds down off the plant, right? Who's to say that, you know, the sunshine, you know, the blueberry haze looks like the fucking, like the blueberry OG. So we could say the blueberry haze and the blueberry OG and just switch them around. And then it's okay for, you know, other dispensaries to have their weed in another dispensary marked up 10%. So I can go to, say, the cannabis to get, you know, a fucking, an eighth for 30, 25 bucks to say, Southie D, Southie Adams, D sealer, right? And, or I can go to, you know, Nature's Remedy and get that same strand at a higher price. How can they do that? Like, that shit's crazy. So, like, you know, what do they say? Oh, yeah, hey, I can't sell my fucking own weed in here at this price. Do you mind if I sell it to you for fucking 15 bucks a gram, and then you can sell it for 35 and make, you know, make back your money and shit like that? Like, how is that going on? And then where's that seed to seal fucking tracker? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. If you believe that, I got a story to tell you. So that's why, you know, that's why the mayor of Fall River was extorting the fucking cannabis company, because he knew the cannabis company, the cannabis commission, was already corrupt. Do you know what I mean? Because nobody can tell nothing, because they don't have potheads working there. Do you know what I mean? They don't have potheads working there. I mean, the guy that owns Nova Farms doesn't even live in fucking Boston. Okay? And he has the nerve to use a Boston fucking gimmick as his Southie Adams, as if there was this kid named Adam in Southie that's growing this weed. And it's not. It's just a fucking illusion. And I'm like, wow, that's some fucking shit. You know, so now that Nova Farms is doing good, now they say, oh, well, let's make up another brand, right? So this way here, they can't relate to us. So say somebody doesn't like Nova Farms, right? Because everybody's cannabinoid system is different. So let's just say somebody doesn't like Nova Farms, but they like Southie Adams. They don't know that's Nova Farms. Or they like Sticky Fish. Oh, I love Sticky Fish's fucking D-Sealer extract. Oh, did you know that was the D-Sealer that was the Nova Farms that you didn't like? You shooting me? Yeah, they're the sister companies. And now the dispensaries are just starting to get hip, and that people are starting to get hip to this. So I'm like, this is the cloudy transparency that you people lead me to believe that you guys are all corrupt. All right. So now they have. So I look up this Nova Farms shit, right? And I say, you know, Southie Adams, right? How did he get Southie Adams, right? He lives in Connecticut in a county named Southie Adams County, I think. Okay, South Adams, it's called South Adams County. So he just said, oh, well, Southie Adams. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. Now, mind you, this guy, you know, they know nothing about weed. I've went through the LinkedIn pages, and I'm like, these people are all just straight up capitalists. Nobody really cares about the customer. Nobody really gives a fuck about the patient. That's for damn sure, right? And so when is it and who will be that really starts to take that serious? Because to me, boutique weed dispensaries are going to be the sought-after places, okay? Instead of having a million fucking menus of, you know, 30 strands, I'd say, listen, I got 7 strands, and I got some of the best strands. I got Durban Poison, Girl Scout cookies, I got Empress cookies, I got the gelato, you know what I mean? And the list goes on, you know what I'm saying? So you can show, you know, you can get these mainstay strands that are awesome land races that have really good effects. But what we have is dispensaries going to like Rocket Seeds and buying seeds that are, you know, 10 bucks, you know, what 40, 50 bucks for 10 of them. Do you know what I mean? When they can go get better seeds with stronger genetics and pay a little bit more. But if they pay a little bit more, we have to pay a little bit more. And it's not like, you know, an extra 20 bucks. It's like an extra fucking 200 bucks. You know, because they want to say, oh, well, you know, these are fucking, you know, the Jungle Boy seeds. Well, I don't give a fuck about Jungle Boy seeds. They can keep their fucking $150 seeds up their asshole. You know, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but you can smoke some weed out of a dense dispensary and it just doesn't last with you. But if I smoke some bud that like I got from somebody and it, you know, it was just homegrown shit, I smoke that and it's like it lasts me a while. Like I don't feel like I have to smoke all constantly. So, you know, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but like it seems like this is like all synthetic weed with the Delta 9 and shit like that, and it's hard to find, you know, unless you're up there in the humble county hills, you know, cutting genetics and shit like that and weeding out this and weeding out that and stuff. So but ask yourself, where's the money going? What you ask yourself, what you pay, right? Now, I'll tell you this right now. I'm already like $600 a month deep into weed this month. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy. It's just crazy. And you know half of it, you're getting screwed on half of it because it's the taxes. You know, so they say, oh, well, you want to smoke the shit? Well, we're going to tax the hell out of it. You know what I mean? And that's why everybody's starting to grow and do this and do that. But, oh, and then, hey, well, yeah, now your electricity's going up. Oh, yeah, great. Ain't that a coinky-dink? You know what I mean? It's all a fucking show and it's all bullshit. You know what I mean? But what I can't wait for is, like, what I'm dying for is microdosing on the, mushrooms just to stop fucking migraine headaches. That would be great. Oh, I gotta put my prize picks in. Oh yeah, I gotta put my prize picks in. But you know, like Harborside in California, the D'Angelo cat with the two braids, he's, you know, he brings in like a ton of money a month. Okay, a ton. And the prices in California are so cheap and the weed is so good that it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know, what the hell? I want some of that Cali shit. But anyway, ask yourself, where's the money going at the end of the day?
Okay. So quick fun fact, people, we just learned, right? Now, and see, I'm still on the marijuana thing, and I just, and this ain't going to be a long point, but I just wanted to just lay these points out to you, because a lot of people, like baby boomers and things of that nature, are just going to think, oh, it's a high THC percentage, that means I'm just going to get fucking fucked up. No, it's a total active cannabinoids. You know what I mean? The tetrahydrocannabinoid is the ingredient that gets you high, you know what I'm saying? Right. But if 25% of that is 25% of that what? 1 gram bud or the whole fucking plant itself? Like, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is that the THCs in at least in marijuana at least in the Massachusetts marijuana dispensaries, you're not going to see. You'll see THC levels once in a while, very very rarely, but you'll see THC, A, total active cannabinoids. Okay, so you know it's a fucking play on it. This is a hustle. So now, if you was to go take your weed and bring it to, say, MCL Labs in fucking Danvers or whatnot and said, hey, test my weed that I grew, they're going to say, oh, it registers at 22%. Okay, how many total active cannabinoids? 19%. Okay, so now, which one of those, so out of the 17% of those cannabinoids are actually the fucking cannabinoids that, you know, the one, they, you know, are they all GBN? Is it low on the THC spectrum? So the thing is that if you're in Mass, the only way to find out if you're going to get good weed, because I'm sure you people have probably bought some high class weed that cost a lot and it didn't get you fucking high, right? Or you're like, Jesus, you know, that cheaper weed that I bought the other week, that shit seemed to get me high as fuck. And now you want to go back and get it and it's not there. Okay. Well, here's the thing that you got to look at, because I just asked her. Now, the other time I went down and I bought from this company called The Bank, because they actually leased out an old bank in Brookline, and now that's their name, is The Bank, okay? And they supposedly have exceptional marijuana, okay? I says, okay, well, I love banana OG, and you know, and I had it before. Now, depending on how it's grown, the conditions, how far the plant away from was the light, how good the grower, the nutrients, the whole kit and caboodle, yes, then I'd have what I'm looking for in the banana OG. So where I don't know the farmer, I don't know the grower, and I don't know their conditions on how they do their fucking thing, or do they really care? So the thing, if you live in Massachusetts, okay, and you are looking for marijuana, the best thing for you to do is go and ask the girl, like, just say if you want the Gary Payton, okay, it's a Gary Payton. Say, I want to know what's the percentage of Delta 9 inside the ounce of Gary Payton, okay? And then ask them about, you know, like, so what happened was, is when I got ahead of myself, when I got the Bank's, you know, second, the top tier fucking weed of banana OG, I looked on the back of that, right? And I asked, cause my soon to fucking be separated wife, I go, hey, did that, you know, I says, how did you like that banana OG and shit? She's like, oh, it was cool, you know, I enjoyed it and stuff. And I'm looking at, I'm like, okay. And I'm like, really, you did, huh? I says, okay. I says, well, here, I'm going to give you a joint of Gary Payton. The next day, she's like, I like the Gary Payton. The Gary Payton kind of hit me a little harder. And I was like, yeah. I says, I was figuring it did, because the fucking banana OG was rated to be, you know, top tier bud from The Bank with their exquisite fucking, you know, plant and cannabis and what have you. And don't get me wrong, some of their shit is good, don't get me wrong. But their Delta 9 content in that eighth was 0.33%. That was a third of Delta 9 THC, which is one of the, like, you know, common fucking ingredients that runs parallel with tetrahydrocannabinoid, which is THC. Okay? So I don't know if they're synthetically taking, you know, Delta 9, creating fucking seeds for Delta 9, Do you know what I mean? I don't get it. I never understood. I just thought, like, hey, you give me a high percentage of THC, I'm getting fucked up, right? Okay. Because that's the main ingredient, right? Now, all of a sudden, they're on this THCA and Delta 9 shit, right? And I'm saying to myself, so, all right, so I'm looking in the back of the banana OG. It's this 0.33. I smoke it, right? And I could have, last night, I smoked 3 blunts of that shit. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I go to the, so now I go to the dispensary, and I know my land raises and breeds to a certain point. So they have double stuff. Oh, they had, what was it? Stuffed apricot, okay? Which is a cross between sunset sherbet and Girl Scout Thin Mints, okay? Which are very good land raisins, okay? So I would trust just the seeds alone and a moderate grower to get me what I need. So I get to the desk, and she goes, you got the Gary Payton, right? And I says, yep. Because I already know the Delta 9 of the Gary Payton is 71%, or 0.7, it's 3 points, all right? So I ask, I says, would you know, because I didn't want her to, you know, they're packed, so I was kind of like nervous to ask. I says, is there any way you could look on the computer and find out how much Delta 9 without having to look in the package that's in that stuffed apricot? And she goes, I have to go check the package. She goes, do you want me to check the package? And I says, let me put $2 in your tip jar. She comes back out and she goes, it's 69%. I says, great, I'll be back tomorrow to get an ounce of that. So, because I said to her, I says, now there's a guy next to her and he's listening, right? And he's looking and he says, just like I said in this podcast, I told her, I says, I want to know if it's, you know, higher the Delta 9, the higher I get. The lower the Delta 9, the lower the high. Or is it the lower the Delta 9, the higher you get, or the higher the Delta 9, the lower you get? You know what I'm saying? It's advice of, you know what I mean? I hope I'm making sense there. So as far as I can see, the higher the Delta 9, the higher the fucking, the higher you're going to get. So, Gary Payton is for this ounce is 71%. That's about as high as I'd seen. Now, when I touch the bud, you want your bud to feel like it's prickly a little prickly. Like you would think it was like a little dry, but it's not. It's just a little prickly. Do you know what I mean? You don't want bud that looks like it's frosted, and when you break it up, you get all this fucking teeth or mold or chafe and shit. Like you don't want all that. You don't want all that. You know what I mean? Some people are like, oh, yeah, it's nice and frosty and shit. No, it's overgrown. That's what happened. They overgrown it. And now you got too many furs and shit like that and what have you. So, you know, they fucked up. They fucked up the process. Not you. You know what I mean? So, it, you know, a lot of people get tricked on that. And this is the hustle. If I knew this hustle back then when we were selling weed, we would have all been rich. You know what I mean? Talking to the kid in line, I'm like, you know, when I was selling bud, I didn't have these many customers. He goes, yeah, I didn't even have the tax either. And I says, yeah, no shit. And you got the audacity to give me a fucking 3/8 of a percentage point of Delta 9 that's going to get me high, and yet you want to charge me $35 because you're telling me it's top tier fucking bud, at least from them. That's crazy. That's such a flat out fucking lie. So now when the people get hip, so the Delta 9 to 10 percentages, they're going to say, hold on, let me see the Delta 9. And they're going to, and believe me, dispensaries are going to see this and they're going to say they're catching on. So the hustle is going to die soon. But this is why you don't see it transform into the stocks. Because everybody's changing their fucking names, all right? Completely changing their names, the DBAs, all right? They're making wholly subsidiary companies, all right? So they got to buy a new LLC to put the same bud that's getting molded, but put it under a new name just to spark some new interest. Do you know what I mean? But it's the same bud. So you're telling me you got it. So the bank's telling me that they got two Gary Paytons, right? Mind you, with all the seed to seal and all the security apparatuses and stuff like that to not have corruption in marijuana. So all the seed to seal, right? The bank is going to tell me that they have two kinds of Gary Payton. They have one Gary Payton kind that only goes from 20 to 25% THC. And then they have another Gary Payton that goes from 25 to 30% THC. And I says, oh, really? Oh, yeah, do you really? So you're telling me you're going to pay MCR Labs twice to run tests on the same strand just to see if what the percentage THC percentage is? Like, that makes no fucking sense. It should be pretty much well across the board, unless the plants that are low in THC were, like, way, way in the back and not near the center of the light and wasn't getting enough unanimals or whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? And lumens and shit. So it's like, this is the game that they're doing. This is the game. And the first time I ever get a chance to go the fuck out to Cali and actually get a pound of some good shit, and I'll go right up to the Emerald Triangle and try to drive that back. You get a pound of some of that good shit and bring it over to the East Coast, then it's a wrap. And I don't understand why these dispensaries, the management, does not call up some LA guys and say, look, we want some of the best fucking bud that you guys are doing out there. Like, get me the Marathon OG that fucking Nipsey's smoking. You know what I mean? Get me the fucking Emperor Cookies. Get me the Durban Poisons. Get me the Hazes. Because those are the medicinal ones, man. Those are what you want. You want the fucking, I want the Hindu Kushes. You know, you want the Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. You want the platinum cookies. You know, you want, it's like, come on now. Stop going to fucking mom and pop seed companies and getting low genetics and selling them and then expecting us to say, oh, yeah, you know, oh, they got this strain, they got that strand, like, you know, that just came out, like, their gelato. Like, I can't trust that, you know, Massachusetts growers grow gelato like fucking Berna does in L.A. Like, no, that's not the same gelato. Like, hell's no. But I got to believe in the phenotype and the land races that are inside those DNAs and hope that, you know, that I get a good finish out of it. So I trust Gary Payton and the land races and the strands and the cuts and the phenotypes and that. And now I'll trust the apricot because I trust Thin Mints. It's been around for a while. And I've smoked Sunset Sherbet. And I like both of them. So I know those two strands. And if they came out of Mass, I know those two strands together are going to give me a good one. So when she went in the bag and came back from the, when she came back with the bag and told me that the percentage of the stuffed apricot, she goes, it's 69. I says, wonderful. I'll be back tomorrow to grab another round. Thank you so much. You know what I mean? So that's the game, guys. You get a, let's just say you buy an ounce. You're not going to know what the Delta 9 is until she puts it on the counter or he puts it on the counter. When he puts it on the counter, ask him, say, can you just read me off the Delta 9 percentage? And if it's not in the 60s, do not buy it. Do not buy it. Especially if you're paying top dollar. Okay? Especially if you're paying top dollar. So you'd be better off to buy 4 8s and find out which one had the better Delta 9 percentage, or what type of phenotypes that match your cannabinoid system. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I know I'm probably going, I know I'm spitting a lot, but you know, I'm a cannabis enthusiast, and I can't wait to start growing my own shit. So yeah, fucking loving it. I love you guys, man. I'll talk to you. I'll catch you on the flip. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you do, share it out. Smoke one with your dog.